Just a quick praise. Today's my birthday. So praise the Lord. I'm still alive. Yeah. So, okay, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 133. And we're going to read that scripture out loud together. Just three verses on unity. Are you ready? Here we go. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. In the past month and a half, we have heard some messages from myself, our Cambodian missionary Daryl, and even our special guest last week, Kurt Hicks, on the theme of unity and the church. The messages have been based around the theme that Daryl has been studying and writing and is almost finished with, I think, Unity and Discernment in the Church. Today, I'd like to finish this mini-series with today's message, The Secret of True Unity. Unity is a nice word, like love or peace and harmony. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. But many have failed to find it or achieve it. And some have just given up on unity. You know, they failed to have unity in their company. And so they do their best, you know, to just plug along at their jobs, trying to avoid working with other people, right? And let me just do my job the way I know how to do it, and I'll be fine. Some have failed to find unity in their marriage or the relationship. And so they do their best to avoid the conflict with their spouse, and they go about their family work on their own. Or some people just give up and they just go ahead and get a divorce. Some have failed to find unity with those around them, their friends and their relationships. And so they do their best to not get too close to people. They just keep friends and their loved ones at a safe distance, you know, where they won't get in the way, or, you know, where they can't get close enough to hurt them again. And so they've given up on unity in their life. And, you know, they say that unity is nice. We all need oneness and we all want harmony. But when you take a close and honest look at their life, it is absent. There is no unity in our lives. And why? Because there is a secret to unity that many cannot and do not and will not realize. And you say, well, what is the secret to that unity? Well, let me tell you what it is. True and lasting unity can only come by the gracious gift of God. Real unity, real harmony can never be achieved without God's Spirit. Unless God is in it, unity will always be something that people will strive for, they'll search for, they'll do their best to find it, but it will always manage to escape them. And that's why many people have given up on unity. But for those of us who have found the secret of unity, for those who understand and accept that unity comes from God and God alone, it is a fountain of blessing, of peace, of joy, of eternal life in the workplace, in the home, and in our friendships, in our relationships. And so King David, when he writes this psalm, he says in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. In our translation, it doesn't have it, but in the original Hebrew, that the first word in this psalm is actually behold. Look. Stop and take a good look at how wonderful it is when God's people have unity. And he's basically saying, in fact, let me just stop for a minute and pick up my pen and write a couple verses about it. And that's what we have this psalm for. And so what does he start writing about? He starts writing about oil and beards. That always puzzled me, you know. Oil and beards. What's going on here? Why not heavenly choirs, you know? Why not, you know, rainbows and birds or something? Why anything but oil and beards, right? Well, as we'll see, oil and beards and Mountain Dew, they show us something that choirs and even rainbows cannot. And we'll get into that in a minute. But first, the oil and the beards. Yeah. Oh, dear. Is it working? Okay. in verse 1, it says, it's like or verse 2, it's like the precious oil, right? That precious oil that's being poured on the head. And the first thing I want to note is the kind of oil that he's talking about. He's not talking about any oil. He's talking about precious oil. It's the most expensive kind. It's the anointing oil. And he's referring to the oil that's described in Exodus chapter 30, where the Lord says to Moses, take the following fine spices. You got myrrh, you have fragrant cinnamon, you have fragrant cane, and some cassia. Mix it in with some olive oil. And so these four fragrant, expensive spices were to be mixed in with your regular olive oil. And he says you're to make these a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. I want you to anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve as priests. And this is to be the sacred anointing oil. So don't put this, you know, on everybody else. Don't put this on just anybody, because that's what oil was for. They actually used oil for many things, not just for, you know, anointing, but they had it for a medicine. They would put it on wounds. They used it actually in their hair to you know, kind of what we use conditioner, you know, rinse for. When I had long hair back in the day, I'd wash my hair and it would get kind of, you know, coarse and rough and knotty. And then I would put some conditioner on it and it gets nice and smooth, right? Shiny. And that's kind of what oil was back then. Also, they used it for food and for lamps, but in this case, it was the precious oil. Those other kinds of oil were just regular oil. This was the precious oil. It was very expensive. And we need to stop and think about that for a minute. Unity is one of the most precious things that God can give to His people. Unity is reserved for God's special work. You put the precious oil on Aaron, who was the priest, and you put the special oil on the items in the tabernacle or in the temple, only for those things that you used for God's work. God gives unity for His work, for His kingdom, for His purpose. And so, you know, it was just for prophets, for priests, for kings. Unless it was for that, you didn't use the precious oil. And so when we are trying to do God's work, when we want to do a ministry, when we want to do something for God's kingdom, we can't do it. It's not possible without His unity, because it was the precious oil. It's the special kind of gift from God. That's the kind of oil. Now I want us to take a look at the amount of oil that He uses. If you notice, it talks about, if you can have it open there, it says it's pouring down on His head and it's running into His beard and it's getting all into the collar of His robes. And, you know, a lot of commentators, a lot of people start getting into the symbols of the head and the beard and the robes, and that's nice. But the main thing it's trying to show there is how much of oil is being used. It's a lot of oil. It's not just, you know, get it in your hair and make it nice and shiny. It's get it everywhere. Let it drip down into that beard and let it go all the way down into your clothes. Don't spare it. Don't be stingy with it, but let it all get in there. God, when He gives the gift of unity, He doesn't spare it. He just lets it all pour out and gets into every nook and cranny, from this committee to that group to this band to that prayer meeting. When God blesses the church with His heavenly unity, everybody is working together. It gets everywhere. It's contagious. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, that's the picture that He's showing for unity. And one more thing, the source of the unity, and we'll get into that in a minute, but notice the direction that it's coming from. It's coming from the top down. And in Exodus, it was Moses who was putting it on to Aaron. Moses was the prophet of God, representing God. It's saying that unity comes from heaven. It's from God. We can strive for unity, and we can try to do our best, and we have many sermons and messages on that. But ultimately, it comes from above. And I'll get into that in a minute. But I want to just say a word on the beard, because you have to. You can't ignore the beard. It's in there twice. So, what is going on with that beard? And it's a very, when you do some study into it, it's fascinating. The beard was a symbol of a man's honor, a man's wisdom, or his dignity. It's something that a man would show the world about his character. All right? If you had a beard that was kind of scraggly or unkept or it was dirty, that revealed to the world about that person's mental condition, about his habits, how he was emotionally, his physical. When you were in mourning, somebody died and you were sad, you would shave off your beard or you wouldn't take care of it. You know, but a beautiful and well-trimmed, well-kept beard, it showed to the world that the person wearing that beard was wise, he was dignified, someone to be honored. Okay, now we have clothes that do that. All right, but back in the day, they didn't have all these, you know, changes of clothes. They just had a beard. That's what you could do to make yourself look decent. Not the women, but the men, of course. Now, by extension, the Bible is saying that Israel, the people of God, are God's beard. And God considered the nation of Israel to be His beard. In Ezekiel chapter 5, God says, you know, I'm going to bring judgment onto Israel. I'm going to wipe out Israel. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to send Assyria from the north. And Assyria is going to be my razor to shave off this terrible beard that I have. And he's saying that my people is what I have to show the world who I am. And if it's not worth showing, I'm going to cut it off, because the beard is my people. Israel, you are my beard. But now I'm going to use Assyria as a razor to cut you off. So why Aaron's beard? You know, it says Aaron's beard. Well, Aaron was the first priest in God's temple. So Aaron basically represents God. And Aaron's beard represents God's people, and that's us. So when the precious oil, and that's the spirit of unity, is running down into the beard, to Aaron's beard, you know, that beard was once dry. It used to be scraggly. Maybe it had some dust in it. Now that beard, after having that oil being poured into it, it starts to come together really nicely. And in fact, there's no you can brush it, you can put water on it and try to make it come together, but there's nothing like the oil that makes it come together. There's something about God's unity that makes us work together so smoothly, so beautifully. There's, you know, it doesn't, if you notice in the psalm, it doesn't talk about the effort of the people to work together. It talks about the oil working the people together. We don't have to try to work together. God's gift helps us work together. Oh God, give us the gift of unity. It begins to be shiny. It's nice to look at. When the church works together, it's nice to see. People are happy, you know. They're not trying to step on each other's toes or trying to outshine each other. They're all shining together. And the final point about that is it smells good. It was those four spices mixed together. It was the work of a perfumer who his job it was is to make things smell good. When God's people work together, it's just nice to be around. It's a nice atmosphere. You know, it's friendly. It's nice. That's real unity. That's real unity. There's something I learned this week. I read sports blogs. I like sports a lot, and so I was looking at a sports blog this week, and it caught my a couple of quotes caught my attention. There was a team. There's a college. Well, I'm not interested in college football, but this sports blog mentioned college football. There's two teams right now. One team or both teams have played about 10 games until now. And one team, out of those 10 games, they've won 9. They've only lost 1. So a very successful team. The other team, they still haven't won a single game. They're a losing team. And the person who was comparing these two teams, he actually found a couple of quotes. One from the winning team, this team that's won 9 out of its 10 games. And it was the coach who talked about his team. And this is what the coach had to say. He said, "I've been a coach for 25 years, and I've seen about 3 or 4 teams with great unity. It is uncommon to have a team with great unity. People who play unselfishly, guys that care about each other, guys that work each other in practice, guys that hang out together off the field, guys that have a little relentless effort. 25 years of coaching, and only 3 or 4 have real unity." And he's talking about this team, which has won 9 out of the 10 games it's played so far. Now look at what a team member said about the other team. This team member was from the losing team. Funny what he says. "I look at the guys on the team that we've got. I look at the guys on our team. We've got really talented, athletic guys. We just didn't have that unity." You just can't have a lot of athletes running around out there and have a team. You can have a beard. Anybody can, well, not everybody, but just about anybody can grow a beard. It's not that hard if, you know, a male, right? Well, for Asians, usually it's not easy, but anybody can grow hair on their face. Anybody can get something growing. But it's not a beard. It's not nice to look at unless there's some oil in it, some unity. And any, you know, we can get together, anybody can form a church, form a fellowship, get a group going. You can do ministry. You can get things done. But it's that unity that you need in order to be a winning, successful ministry. And that's a gift from God. So that's about the beard. Now, you know, it says there it's fragrant, it smells nice, it's shiny, it looks good, it's the anointed beard, it's pleasant. But, you know, what good is that? You go to church, it feels good, it's nice people, but what good is it if it's not getting anything? How does unity really make something good? And that's what the next verse answers. It talks about the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. So why Mount Hermon? Why is he talking about the dew of Hermon? Well, Hermon is the highest peak in the Mount Hermon range. It's the highest peak in Palestine, which is the driest land out there. And yet on this highest peak is where you have the most dew. What is dew? Well, dew is it's water, but it's life-sustaining, and it's as precious as rainfall. Because in a place like Palestine, you need water. I'm from Southern California, and it's actually desert land. But it's very similar to what you have in Palestine, where in the daytime, it's clear, hot, sunny, and dry. And then that clear air makes the sun all the more hotter. It's very hot, but once that sun goes down, pop, the ground just cools off. The air cools off immediately. And sometimes you have a temperature difference of, you know, 10 degrees, 15, 20 degrees, just because of the air being so clear. Now, in Palestine, it's even more so. During the day, it's super hot, and in the evening, it's that cold. It's almost a 40-degree difference in temperature from night and day. And so what happens is it gets very cool in the evening. And what happens in that cool air? The cool air starts to condense. And by the time it touches something cool, it gets very wet. And in California, we called it condensation, you know. But it's dew. In Bible words, it's dew. And I remember one time I was camping at the beach. And it was a beautiful night, sunny night, clear. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll just, you know, sleep outside. So I slept outside. I got my sleeping bag. Now, it was a beautiful night, but it was cold. And so I had my sleeping bag around me, and I slept all night. And when I woke up in the morning, my whole sleeping bag was soaking wet. And this is my first time out there camping on the beach, and I thought, did I pee in my sleeping bag? Did I wet my bag? I'm 17 years old, you know, I'm like, and I check down there. I didn't do that. I was dry, good. I was good over there. But outside, it was just soaking wet. And I thought, what's going on? And I wake up my friend and said, man, it's wet. He says, yeah, it's condensation. I'm like, what's condensation? You know? He says, well, it gets cold and it gets, you know, and water and you get wet. Ah. Because I looked and I thought it rained. You know, I'm looking at the sky. It's perfectly clear. Not a cloud there. But it was as if it were raining. That's how much water there was. And in a land in Palestine, it's the same way. You see, from October until April, it's that winter time, it's the rainy season, the land gets all the rain that it needs. But from April until October, there's no rain at all. And so the only way that the ground can stay fertile, can stay wet, can stay nutritious, is that dew. It's precious, precious dew. And when does that dew come? It comes in the dry season. It comes when there is no rain, from April to October. It keeps the crops from drying out. It keeps it allows the grass to grow so your sheep and your cattle can go and eat the grass. He keeps the flocks healthy. And so it is in our lives. That's when we need the dew of unity. In our church, people will come and they'll go. We'll have our good seasons when everybody's coming to church. We've got a new group from Mazda coming in. We've got new teachers coming in. We've got people from the Philippines working here, and it's you know, a wonderful thing. And then, you know, it's summertime and everybody's going on vacation, or the contracts are finished and they're all going back, and it's the dry season. But that's when the dew, the unity of God, is so precious. It keeps us together. It keeps us alive. It keeps us nutritious. I can't even find the word. What's the word I'm looking for? Nutrified. I don't know. Huh? Nourished. Thank you. Yeah, it keeps us nourished. It's that dew. We get nourished by the word. We get nourished by our fellowship, but it's the unity of us working together that keeps us vibrant and healthy. It keeps our church life healthy. And it's a gift from God, a gift from heaven. We can't make it. We can't produce it. God gives it. It's a blessing. And it says there, for there, the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Everyone is looking for God's blessing in their life. And if they're not looking, well, you know, they want to at least admit they need God's blessing in their life. And this psalm makes it very clear, a very clear promise about how God's blessing can come about in our life by being united with our brothers and sisters, by living in harmony with those around us. The message is very clear today. You can find God's blessing in your life when you seek God's unity. Now, maybe you've come here alone in your journey to find God's blessing. And, you know, many people come to find God alone. But God's word to you is that though you may have come alone, you will not leave alone. And you must not live alone. Because blessing comes to those who live in unity. God grants happiness. God gives peace, joy to those who work in unity with others. What is this blessing, this happiness? It's the ultimate gift that God wants to give his people. Life forevermore. Eternal life is his blessing to his people. It's offered to anyone who would lay down his pride and say, God, I cannot do this alone. Eternal life is offered to anyone who says, God, I need you to walk with me day by day, step by step. Eternal life can be given to anyone who will surrender to God and say, Jesus, today, I trust you with my life. I want to be united with my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to stop trying to do this by myself. I can't do it alone. And if you say this in your heart, in all honesty to Jesus Christ, you will receive God's blessing, his mercy to you today, life forevermore. Amen. Shall we pray? I'm going to invite Braden and the worship team to come on up. I'd like you to consider that verse that David wrote. How good and pleasing it is when God's people live together in unity. Has your life been good and pleasing? If so, bless the Lord. But if there is a need for God's eternal life in your own, would you reach out to Him and say, God, unite me with my brothers and sisters. God, unite me with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do not want to be alone. You created us to be together. And Lord, we are here together. We're trying to work together. We're trying to be united. But Lord, how we need your anointing. Oh God, how we need the oil, the precious oil, the dew of heaven. Oh God, pour it out on us. We are desperate for your Spirit to unite us. Bring us together for your kingdom, for your purpose, for your glory. For this we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.